Hello, 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 and welcome to the Linwood's Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. My guest today is singer, songwriter, and actress Shirley Murdock. Shirley has brought us hits across multiple musical genres since 1986. She calls her music life music, starting with her R&B hit, As We Lay. She also sang on Roger and Zapp's classic, Computer Love. And now Shirley is back with a song just for the times such as these, in the middle of a pandemic, with her rendition of the classic, People, Get Ready. Thank you so much, Shirley, for joining us today.
Hi, Lynn, honey. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. It's been a while, and it's good to be back.
Off mic, we were talking. We haven't spoken since I was, the early to mid-2000s on some of your, talking to you about some of your gospel projects, and I was doing Urban Network.
Say, but the Lord has, he has increased your territory. Look at it.
Well, praise God. Speaking of territory and increasing, I just want to find out from you about these times that we're living in. How are you holding on? How's your family doing? And how are you able to pivot to manage things as a recording artist who does concert dates and performances? How have you been doing, and how have you pivoted?
Ooh, we are yet holding on. But, you know, it's been very difficult. It's been hard because I love what I do. I love, you know, people. I love ministering to people. I love doing concerts. I love doing the plays. I love everything that I do. But this pandemic has, you know, really put a stop to all of that to a certain degree. But what it is also, downside, but on the upside, it's given us the opportunity to hit reset in our lives, you know, to kind of reset your priorities, and it also stretches you to be more creative in ways that maybe you never thought that you even needed to be. You know, you end up going deeper down into your well of creativity and drawing from the creativity, using the gift that God has given you, and then using everything around you. Like, we're using technology, so I can't do the concerts live, but I can use social media, you know, like Instagram and Facebook Live. And, you know, my husband and I are part of a ministry that he's the co-pastor. I'm the co-pastor of PrayingForYou.org. And we've been on, it's like a free telephone conference line, started about 13 years ago.
Okay.
And so when the pandemic hit, we were already set up, you know, to either use the free conference call, or my husband ministers, and so do I, Facebook Live. So, you know, we have to use what we have. But again, you know, it's an opportunity to hit reset for those things that you say you never had an opportunity to do. You have time. But now we had so much time to write the song. So there's no sense in wasting a good pandemic, right?
That is true. You got all this time. Now you can't go out.
Right.
You have to stay in, utilize what you got. You said you using technology. You already had things in place for your ministry with the conference calls.
That's right. And even with our church, we use Facebook Live every Sunday, and we do our Bible studies, you know, on the phone. And it's amazing. There's more folks showing up for Bible study on the phone than when people are going to the brick and mortar. So, you know, some of these things, I think, we're going to end up keeping because it's working. But I'm sure everybody's, you know, missing our families, missing that human touch, being able to hug one another. But, you know, but then again, it's technology. Zoom has become a beautiful thing where you can just see each other's face. So we just use it. The devil's using it. I think God's people are supposed to use it. We should use it for the kingdom.
And kingdom building.
In a way that blesses us, right?
Amen. You know, something might have been, they thought they were going to use it for evil, but God flipped that thing.
Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he will.
Yeah, so many people I've spoken to have said some of their ministries and the church services and the Bible studies, like you said, have grown during this pandemic. And they haven't missed a beat financially either.
Amen. And, you know, people are hungry for the word even more because they're wondering what's going on. Like, hey, this pandemic, did God send it? You know, what's going on? But I don't know if God sent it or not, but I know he's using it. He's using it, and it's also meant, it's drawing people to reset even their relationship with him, you know, and with each other, with their family, and, you know, because now we're all together, and we're planning meals together, we're masking up, and, you know, having our hand sanitizer, going to the grocery stores, and we're planning our meals, we're cooking together. So it's otherwise, people, you know, mama might be in one room, daddy might be in another room, kids might be in another room, they're on their devices, and they're not talking. But now, you know, we're kind of forced to be in each other's faces and also to just say, well, hey, are you okay? Because this thing is rough. I mean, just the other day, and my husband Dale and my son Devin, we were having a conversation because, you know, you're with each other 24/7. You can't escape each other.
Right.
And you might get a little edgy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to have a conversation to remember, listen, whatever you're going through, you need to share it. If you don't share it, you end up taking it out on somebody. Who you're really taking it out on then is the people that are closest to you. So you have to be honest and say, hey, I'm having a rough day, or I just need a minute to myself. You know, just be real with it. And I'd also find that when I'm in a situation, you know, if I need encouragement, you know, in the Bible, we always, you know, I think we always hear that scripture about giving and shall be given, pressed down, shaking together, you know, running over. and we always equate that with money. But Jesus wasn't talking about money. In that previous verse, he was talking about not judging, and he was talking about forgiveness. So it's like we can give our way out of a situation. Like, if I need forgiveness, then I need to give forgiveness. If I find I'm having a hard day, or if I need encouragement, I find that when I also do like daily devotionals, like every day, and
I've seen them,
300 people, and I put on social media. But you know, if I'm having a hard time, I find that when I take a minute and try to inspire somebody else, I get inspired, because not only do I say these words, but then I also hear these words, and it reminds me of what the Bible says. There's one thing about the word, baby, it cuts going out, it cuts coming back.
All right, then.
In a good way, it touches us. So if you need encouragement, encourage somebody else.
That's
if you're
right.
lonely, then go talk to somebody else that might be lonely. And then now, if you talk to somebody else, how can you be lonely? Because now y'all talking to each other. So you have to give your way out of it. Give what it is that you need.
All right, Sister Shirley, you better preach that word, girl.
Say, well, you know what's in you comes out.
Well, let's dig into a little bit about your background in case some of those folks out there don't know how Shirley Murdoch became this phenomenal singer, Shirley Murdoch, that we know and love today. Did you grow up in a household full of music?
I absolutely did. I grew up in a household with six kids. My parents divorced when I was younger, but I remember my father loved jazz. My mother, she loved gospel and she loved the blues. I remember her listening to like the Brooke Benton, but she also loved like Shirley Caesar, and she loved James Cleveland. And so, but I grew up in Toledo, so I was like less than an hour from Detroit. So I had a lot of Detroit influences, okay?
Okay.
So, and Motown. So, I mean, I loved Aretha Franklin. I thought I was Aretha Franklin standing in the mirror with a hairbrush, you know, with my head reared back, singing Dr. Feelgood. With so much believer busy, the mama said, baby, now listen, I know you don't know what you're singing about, but you sound like you do, so why don't you just leave that alone until you get grown? I could sing, listen to the radio, sing along, sing harmony, but you know, because the Clark sisters, Aretha Franklin was in Detroit, Stevie Wonder was in Detroit. Now, I'm a big Clark sister fan, and can't anybody tell me I'm not Clark sister number six. Dr. Maddie Moss Clark, God rest her soul, she used to have Twinkie give me a call and had me come up to Detroit for what they call the Midnight Musical at Bailey Temple or Bailey Cathedral. And honey, Midnight Musical. Honey, we you know, like on a Saturday night, you know, or Sunday night, you wouldn't get out of there but about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I mean, listen, the whiners were there. Well, they were the testimonials back then. That's
okay.
That video. They weren't even the whiners. They were the testimonials. And they even sang The Question Is back then. You had Vanessa Bell. You had Vicky. All those wonderful Detroit singers, the Clark sisters. Everybody was there at the Midnight Musicals. And so that was a highlight of my life growing up. But I grew up singing in the choir. And, man, grew up in Toledo. I always, when I gave my life to the Lord, when I really, I got baptized when I was like about 9 years old. But when I was 15 is when I really, really discovered, because we had a Kojic. I grew up in a Baptist church.
Okay.
We had a Kojic choir director. So he kind of brought that extra sauce, meaning, you know, hey, it's not enough to just have your name written on the church roll or to, you know, give the preacher your hand. Have you ever asked the Lord to come into your life to be your personal Savior? Do you have this personal relationship with Christ? And I tell you, I remember getting saved, honey, a third Saturday, because we, fourth Saturday, because we always sung on the second and fourth Sunday. Okay. At a prayer warriors meeting, honey, I gave my life to the Lord, and it's been a beautiful situation. The journey has been awesome ever since, and I thought that I would be a gospel singer. That's what I sought, but those doors never opened for me. I ministered with a crusade that went all over the country doing revivals. I got laid off from a crusade, came back and got my job. But in the interim, we were doing a crusade, and it was entitled Jesus is Love, and we adopted that Commodore song, Jesus is Love. And that's when Roger Troutman heard me on a tape.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is Love. And wanted to know, who is this girl? Does she want to make records? Because my cousin worked for them, and she played the tape for them. And when I came home, my family was geeked up, girl. They like, girl, Jill came and sent the tape back. Roger Troutman, Zap. I'm like, okay, who's Roger and what's a Zap? Because, you know, I really wasn't into that. You know what? I wasn't
into the gospel,
baby. Anything about gospel, I can tell you. But it's not like, you know, I had my head buried in the sand, like I never heard R&B music, but I wasn't familiar with it enough to say, this is this artist, blah, blah. And so I remember me and my sister went to Dayton, Ohio. We drove down to Dayton to talk to Roger and Larry Troutman, and I told them I wanted to, hey, it was my heart's desire to sing gospel, and thank you, but no thanks. Okay. I turned not only them down, but other opportunities, and so I left there saying, God, why is this the only door that's open? You know, Lord, is this you? Is this the door that you're opening for me? Could this be the path that you have for me? So after, you know, after praying about it, talking to my family and my pastor, it's like, okay, God, if this is the door that you have for me, I'm going to walk through by faith through the door that you opened for me. And I'm taking you with me, just like I took you with me to every job I've ever had.
Amen.
And so my testimony in mainstream is not drugs and alcohol, because God sent me to a place, the Troutman brothers, the Troutman family. They're a family group, and they're a drug-free organization. They're self-sufficient. They had a construction company. You know, they did all types of things for the community, so they're community-minded, and they knew who I was and where I was coming from. They respected me as a woman and as a Christian woman, so they never crossed any lines there. And it's, like I said, it's been a wonderful journey. I've had opportunities to share my love for God and to share my light and have these opportunities to do it that I might have never had an opportunity to do. I was just sharing it with you. Since you read my devotionals, you'll get this about how God gives us the measure of grace for our lives. I think that we have the measure of grace for whatever the call on your life is. So we have to be not afraid to be who God says you are, uniquely who God says you are, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
You know, you said, when you talked about Roger and Zap, you made me remember back in the day. I lived in L.A. for a long time, and when I probably first met you, I was probably out there and going back and forth between the Midwest and Los Angeles. But once I worked at Warner Brothers one time. I have a radio background too, but I worked at Warner Brothers in artist development, so I had the opportunity to work with the Troutmans. They were one of my groups.
Yeah,
one of the groups that I got assigned to was like Zap, and Roger. And I had the opportunity to do some things with them, you know, like they might go, the artist development folks go with them to their events, set up the TV and some of the radio stuff and go out with them. So I loved working with them because they were self-sufficient. You didn't have to babysit. They acted like grown folks supposed to act on the road.
It's very professional, you know.
Very, yes.
You know, they would, you know, like they'd come in and they'd be suited down. You know what I mean? They come in like businessmen, carrying a briefcase, you know, and that's just how they roll, you know. And if you were there with them around 84, that's when I first went out with Roger. I was making my record, and he said, Shirley, we're going to make your record. I was still living in Toledo. I was commuting. He said, we're going to make your record. I need you to move to Dayton because I really show you how to sing in the studio. You know, you used to sing in your church and, you know, and just really freeze there. But on records, you have to sing in the pocket. And he taught me that, girl. And I'm the queen. I'm a pocket queen, honey. I'll lay that vocal between that foot and that snare like a mug. and so while I was traveling with him, I pretty much, I set up his interviews. You know what I mean? I went with him to all his radio interviews and things like that. And that was really good as a young artist getting ready to come out. So, you know, it kind of gave me that extra boost, that extra experience of what I was getting ready to do.
Yeah, so you learned the business side of it, so that if the label folks were asking you to do certain things, it wasn't foreign to you. You
were like, absolutely.
I know about promotions. I know how to set up an interview. Yeah.
you know all about it.
Yes, I do. Now, you did music, but you also did plays. So were you doing music and plays and some of those around the same time?
Yes. The Lord opened the door for the... Well, first of all, I have to say this. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you really for a great man. It was the gift and it was the opportunity and it was the notoriety that I got as an artist.
Okay.
That opened the door, because in urban plays, they started inviting mainstream artists to come in and do cameo appearances, because that would help bring the audience in.
Right.
And
right.
So I remember, I think Asley Lay was, no, I think maybe Husband was out. Yes. It was in the mid to late 80s. I got an opportunity to do a Michael Matthews play. He was one of the godfathers along with the...
Yeah, I remember him.
Yes, you know, all those gospel plays, you know, like they had like Sneakies and Mama Don't, Mama I'm Sorry and all that.
Yeah.
And so I remember, you know, Mama, 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 right?
Mama this and Mama that, yeah.
Right. Mama say, Mama say, Mama say, Mama say,
okay. Yeah.
But I remember we got a call. Larry Chapman got a call for me to do Fake Friends. It was a Michael Matthews play.
I remember that.
Lil G was in it, and David Keeson was in it. And remember the Five Heartbeats?
Yeah.
Big Red and the one that was dangling out the window. He was in it. Nephew Tommy, before he became Nephew Tommy, Thomas Miles was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so many people that was in that play, and I came in as a cameo to be Auntie Thelma.
Mm.
And so I was saying, like, okay, now Shirley, this is another one of your dreams comes true, because God, he knows the desires of your heart. And he remembers even when you forget.
Right.
I remember being this little girl in Toledo watching those Saturday matinees, which was a curly-haired white girl by the name of Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw myself. I said, okay, that's me. One day, I'm going to be that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to sing and dance and be on stage and act and all that. And so God has a way of remembering those dreams,
yes,
those dreams in you as a young person. And not only is he the giver of the dream, but he's the keeper of the dream. So that was the genesis of that. And God remembered, and he opened that door. And so when that opportunity came, I said, you know, okay, I thank God for this opportunity, because now I'm getting ready to be an actor. But I can't call myself an actor yet, because I don't deserve to be called an actor. All of these actors who are around me, they spent their time honing their skills as an actor like I did as a singer. So if I come in and I just be like a blank slate and just let the director paint on me, if I just listen, if I watch and glean, then I can learn how to be an actor. So over the years, I went from having just cameo appearances as Auntie Somebody,
mm-hmm,
holding lead roles in the gospel urban plays.
Oh,
and
right.
So I did Tyler Perry's very first play before he made it big.
Oh,
it was a play called I Know I've Been Changed.
Oh, I remember
and
that one.
Then, I knew that young man had something, because, see, this was before Madea.
Mm.
His main character was Uncle Joe. And so look and see how God has made his dreams come true. And what he has done and how much he's done is just amazing. It's amazing. And I still talk to him today and have opportunities to just tell him how proud I am of him.
Oh, that is so sweet.
The things that he's doing. Oh, man, it's amazing how God allowed you to cross paths with people, you know.
It is.
So the plays turned into movies.
Look at God.
The gift will make room for you.
Yes, it will.
But I want to say to the dreamers,
mm-hmm,
can I just say something to the dreamers?
Yes.
That God gives you a dream. He gives you a dream that will not die. We all have a dream, and that dream is a glimpse of yourself, seeing a glimpse of yourself in the future. You see yourself being more, having more, doing more. And somehow, no matter what you do, that thing won't let go of you. And that is your dream talking to you. But while you're waiting, some people might say, well, yeah, I had that dream when I was a kid, or yeah, what I'm going through right now, just like Joseph.
Joseph,
it didn't look nothing like the dream, right?
Right.
You know, when he was in Potiphar's house, when he went to the dungeon because old girl had the hot for him, and she grabbed the smoke and he ran. He was like, Forrest Gump, run, Forrest Gump.
And she lied on him.
And he went to jail for nothing.
Yeah, because she lied.
She lied. The lie lighter, pants on fire. Her hot pants was on fire.
Yes.
But you know, the thing about God will process us in the meantime. You know, whatever's happened between the anointed time and the appointed time is where God processes us. It's your boot camp. It's where God teaches you, and he encourages you and he cleanses you, because he's not going to take you nowhere he can't keep you. Know? But in the meantime, waiting on the Lord is not like, you know, sitting on your hands or twiddling your thumbs. Waiting on the Lord is more like waiting table. You know, can you fold the napkins? Can you you know, fill the salt and the pepper shakers? Can you polish the silver? Whatever you, just do what you're doing. Keep holding those skills. Keep writing. Keep singing. Keep dancing. Whatever it is that God has put in you, keep polishing that gift. Don't bury it. Keep working on that gift. And God's appointed time, he will open that door and you'll be ready.
Speaking of that, you don't give up. And you were talking about processes. An independent artist that I know of, that's, she's in the St. Louis area, she gave me this bracelet which she was giving out to some folks at one of her listening parties. And it says, it simply says, trust the process.
The process is, listen, I heard Bishop Jake say this, and I wrote it down because it's like Bible. Paul didn't even know he was writing the Bible when he was writing those letters, right?
Right.
But even our conversations and these things that we have is going to be the Bible for somebody at some point in their life. He said, don't despise the process. If you despise the process, you will abort the purpose.
Ooh, that's powerful. That is.
Right? I said, I got to write that down. Allow the process.
Allow it to unfold.
God ain't going
to
do nothing bad to you.
Nope. So true.
Surrender to the process.
Surrender. And then going into your music, you have a new single out. People get People get ready.
Yes. We're so excited. We're so excited about that, Lynn, because, you know, we really thought about doing that during the time of the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylors and all of those terrible things that were happening to people.
Mm.
And so, you know, people were praying and help our country, you know, help us to love one another, take care of each other. And all this vitriol was going on. And so people are praying for answers. But when you pray for answers, don't you think we need to get ready for the answer? We have to act like we believe that God's going to not
He's
only
gonna
hear prayer, but he answers prayer.
Yes.
Just got to get ready for that thing. So, like, we have to get ready for this change, because there is a change coming. Because during that time, there's certain parts of our culture here in America where people woke up, white people woke up to things that they never really understood about our plight.
Right.
We knew it because it's life for us, you know.
It's every day.
A lot of people, they just never got it. They never understood the inequality and the fact that Black lives matter. Not saying that the other lives don't matter, but baby, if you got a house on fire, it's not that your house don't matter, but my house on fire, I need the fire department, you know.
Right.
So we have to just look at it like that. Black people, our houses and our lives are on fire. So that's why we say Black Lives Matter. We need something to happen because our lives are at stake. And so as we pray and we're asking God for answers, we have to get ready for the answer. We have to get ready for the change. Get ready for the answer. Get ready for the change in you. And you changing your mind. You becoming more informed. You becoming more empathetic to the plight of other people who are going through. And so I remember growing up in a time where Marvin Gaye had a song, Brother, Brother, you know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. What's going on? And it's still relevant today.
Spoke to the social ills of society and what we're going through. So my husband and I, we were thinking, should we write a song? You know, what do we want to say? But then there was this classic by The Impressions called People Get Ready. And so we decided to do a remake of that. And I'm so excited about that. And it's going to actually be released in February. And a video, we have like a sneak peek. We're going to have on the video this week. Go to my YouTube page.
Okay,
so,
YouTube page.
We're very, very excited about that. And I thank you for asking about that.
Oh, you're welcome. So, but I love that song, too, because I listened to it as a kid. Are you going to do a full album to go along with this? Or is this just the single for now, addressing the times that we're in?
Well, that's a single for now as we continue to work on the full project. Right. The working title for the project is called Life Song, because I really want to start a whole new genre of music and call it Life Songs.
Throughout
my career, I've always sung songs about life, you know, whether it was from As We Lay to Husband to Computer Love to I Love Me Better Than That to I Still Love You, or even the remake I did with Ben Tankard of Jesus is Love. You know, it's always about love. You know, we are body, soul, and spirit, and I think that music is so powerful that it can really speak to every aspect of who we are. We need sacred love songs to enhance our love relationships and our marriages. I did a project with Bishop T.D. Jakes some years ago called Sacred Love. love songs, and you had a song called "You Are My Ministry," you know, and "You Are My Help Me Too." When I think about loving myself, I think about loving you. Or a song, "The Lady, Her Lover, Her Lord." She found herself. She found her lover for life, and the two of them joined together in the Lord. Talk about how a threefold cord is not easily broken. So it's the lady, her lover, and her Lord. And that's that threefold cord that's not easily broken. So we need songs like that, but we need songs about praise and worship, because when we praise God and thank Him for all the things that He's done for us, we show our gratitude. That moves us into worship, of recognizing Him for who He is, for being just the God of all creation, the God of all grace and mercy, and being that friend, you know, for the friendless, the mother for the motherless, being our provider, being our healer, being our deliverer, being all those things, that all those wonderful attributes that make Him who He is. So that's going to be on there. But I think if we have life songs, it can be inclusive and not extra, plus not only life. People in the gospel. They're mainstream artists that can sing the song. To me, I'm a survivor by Destiny's Child. Girl, that's gospel. Because gospel is good news, ain't it?
It is the good news. Speaking of your you good know, news, but how can people find this? You said we can find this song and we can listen to it, we can stream it, and we can purchase it in February. Is that right?
Yes, it's going to come out in February. Go to my YouTube. I'm putting up a sneak preview of the video. So I'll put that on my social media. I'm on Instagram, Shirley Murdoch, the number 4, R-E-A-L. Shirley Murdoch, the number 4, real. And I'm on Twitter, at Shirley Murdoch. And I have a Facebook page. And I have my website is ShirleyMurdochLifeSongs.com.
You know what, Shirley, we could go on and on and on, but I think we're running out.
I think we could. But I know you got other folks to talk to, but thank you so much, Lynn.
Oh, well, I appreciate you. You know, you're still the same. When the first time I met you, you are still the same, and I can appreciate that. You are genuine.
Well, God bless you, baby. You say, it take one and no one. How about that?
Oh, now you done said something there. That Shirley Murdoch is, well, she's something else. And thank you, audience, for joining us again today. Make sure that you subscribe right now, like and follow. Hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss another episode of this uplifting podcast. Now, if you'd like to reach out to me to connect on social media, you can do so on Twitter at Lynn Woods. That's LINWOODS. Instagram, Lynn Woods 96. Facebook, Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire.